بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, my respected and honorable friends, let us correct our intention that we are sitting here solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to learn in order to attain the reward of performing 1,000 rakats of nafal salah, which has been mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To get this magnitude of reward, let each one of us intend with sincerity from the bottom of our hearts. My dear respected friends, we're carrying on the topic on intentions, and if we do have time, we will go on to the next step, which is going against the carnal desire. If not, then inshallah, this subject will continue on Monday. Because tomorrow, Thursday, is for Durood Salawat. Friday, there isn't much time because of the 40 Durood, 40 Ahadith that we read. Saturday is on remembrance of death, and Sunday is question and answers. So if we do not finish, see you on Monday, inshallah. My dear respected friends, it is not only that we should make sincere intention for our worships, but we should watch also how we are worshipping Allah. Sometimes it happens so that we make a very, very sincere intention, but the action in itself causes that action to become haram. Like it is an example, very, very meritorious, very, very rewarding to read the Quran Kareem. A person sits down and he makes a proper intention of reading the Quran with all the intentions. But he sits in the midst of people that are sleeping and he reads the Quran loud. That action of his Quran reading loud becomes haram. Why? Because he's troubling people. Now the one of reading the Quran loud is not something that is common that happens. Common what really happens is when people are reading namaz, and when they're reading nawafil, they're reading in the people's way, or either when there is a talk to be given by the mimbar, then person will read long rakats, trying to show somebody that I am so holy, that not considering that there are now people waiting. For the hadith has been mentioned regarding waiting, al-intizaru ashaddu min al-maut. To wait is more severe than death. It's not easy to wait. Now you're making a whole group of people wait and you are reading, nice, beautiful namaz day. That namaz of yours, my dear respected friends, really, is not something that is going to draw you nearer and closer to Allah. It will take you further and further to Allah. So let us be cautious as far as our ibadats are made and the intentions made for it. Always remember, especially in the Tabligh Jamaat, they keep on saying and always saying that there is more benefit for you to attend an ijtimai jalsa, an ijtimai majlis, than doing an infiradi one. So when everything is done in Jamaat work here, together being done, it is better for you to attend than to be there in the corner and reading 20 rakats of nafal salah. Because you will benefit more. These are taken out from the ahadith of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our pious elders. So let us be cautious about that also, because those rakats that you are going to read is not going to carry weight. My dear respected friends, I had the opportunity to go to Cape Point this morning. Cape Point is there on top. All the Cape Townians are sitting and having a beautiful talking majlis. Cape Townians, remember. I say again, Cape Townians, remember. When you talk in the masjid, the angel will come to you and tell you, friend of Allah, keep quiet. If you do not keep quiet and you continue talking, then the angel will come and say, enemy of Allah, keep quiet. Then too you don't keep quiet. And the third time the angel will come and tell you, may the curse of Allah be upon you. Now is the angel cursing you? Allah is cursing you. Now what benefit are you going to get out of the itikaf? You are better off home than coming to such here. Because at home you shouldn't have been cursed. But here coming in the house of Allah and talking, you are being cursed. So please avoid this. Now I am going to ask Amir that please lock those doors on the top. There's no need to go outside. Please lock those doors. Now watch it. You're going to lock those doors. We're going to have a new Cape Point, and that is in Abdul Rahman courtyard. That will be new Cape Point. So please avoid. You have come here for the purpose to get something. Don't mix it. Don't make a fruit salad of good deeds and evil deeds together. The pleasure of Allah and the wrath of Allah together. Don't go together, my dear respected friends. So please avoid it. You all, inshallah, all of us? Good. Now, my dear respected friends, we should always remember that there is some lesson that takes place in our lives. We change our lives. And most of us do not like somebody that is young, somebody that is small, to tell us anything. Why? Because we are very educated. We are very high. We are very handsome, very pretty, very rich, very good looking, very well dressed. Nobody must tell us anything. We are like, we are using the term all along in Ramadan, like the Arabs say, Akbar min Allah, we are bigger than Allah. Allah come after us. We are bigger than Allah. Take advice and practice on advice. So this story goes about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. The story says that our mashayikh, our pious elders, have taught us and told us that do not look at who is speaking. In other words, who is offering the words of advice. Look at what is being said. What is being said is from the Quran and the hadith of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is what we have to practice upon. Then gives an incident that once Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi saw a child running with speed. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi called him and advised the child and said to him, "Oh my son, be careful. You may slip." The child immediately responded and said, "Oh Imam, you be careful and walk. If you are careful, the world will be careful. If you slip, the world will slip with you." These words of wisdom had a profound effect on Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. So let us take advice from everybody, practice on it, not get angry, not think something of ourselves. Now, my dear respected friends, the next story is about Fariduddin Attar rahmatullah alayhi, who had become a great saint. They give the story about him, that before he became a wali, became a friend of Allah, Hazrat Attar rahmatullah alayhi was an attar manufacturer and a seller of attar, of perfume. One day a majzoob. Now a majzoob is such a person that is engrossed into the love of Allah at all times. So when you see him, you think he's a madman. He will walk around also with disheveled hair, not worried about his clothing, doesn't care about anything, because he's absorbed in the love of Allah all the time. So such a person, known as a majzub, came to his shop and, pointing at the bottle, the majzub asked, "What is in it?" Hazrat Attar informed him of the contents, that it was attar. The majzub pointed to another bottle and repeated his question. Hazrat Attar again informed him. After making several such queries, the majzub said, "The contents of all these bottles are sticky. How will your souls leave your body when it is stuck to so many sticky things?" Hazrat Attar, with a smile, replied to the majzub, saying, "Just as your soul will depart from your body." The majzub said, "It is no problem for me. My soul will depart simply." So saying, he laid down and closed his eyes. After a few minutes, when Hazrat Attar investigated, he discovered that the majzub was dead. This had such a profound effect on Hazrat Attar's heart that he immediately contributed the entire stock of his shop and all his wealth to charity. Thus, he renounced the world and took to the path leading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which each one of you have come here to this itikaf, to lead yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes Cape Point look very beautiful, then you want to go and sit in Cape Point and lose everything. Please don't lose everything with Cape Point. Right, now we get down to the intention. Like was mentioned yesterday, my dear respected friends, that for one amal, many actions, intentions can be made. Now the question is, what intention should we make? And how should we be making this intention? Certain imams are so fast in starting the namaz that by the time the takbir ends off and they're starting the namaz, there is virtually no time for us to make any intention. So how do we make intention? Now, first of all, we should understand that intention, most important, is made in the heart. Then it is confessed with the tongue. So both together, hand in hand, you make the intention. So in other words, it takes two hands to clap. Try to clap with one hand, you will get no sound. Take two hands, clap, you get a sound. So it is meritorious, more benefit, that if it is made with the heart and the tongue. But my dear respected friends, it is more important than to make it with the heart and not the tongue. So if you make intention only with the tongue and not the heart, that is not a very good intention. But if you make an intention with the heart and not with the tongue, that is a good intention. So all intentions require the two things, the heart and the tongue. If the tongue cannot fall in line because of the time factor, good enough for the heart. And my dear respected friends, remember, your heart can go at a very great speed in making intentions. Now your main focal intention in your ibadah, the total of them, A to Z, should be the pleasure of Allah. So that is the first thing you must always mention, that I am making my ibadah for the pleasure of Allah. Then you say you're following the Quran Kareem and the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you say iman wa ihtisaban, that is with iman and with the aim of attaining its rewards. So whatever hidden rewards there are in that amal that you are doing, which you don't know about, which is mentioned in the Quran Kareem and the ahadith of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will get those rewards because you have intended for it by saying iman wa ihtisaban. With these words, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used in the hadith regarding Ramadan fasting, regarding Laylatul Qadr, searching for it, etc. So, definitely make that intention. The shortest you can make, oh Allah, for your pleasure. But the more you make, the more reward you're going to get. So my dear respected friends, never ever do an amal without intention. Because you are losing that proximity to Allah, the attachment with Allah, getting into the court of Allah. My dear respected friends, on the day of Qiyamah, when you come to Allah and ask Allah for the reward of your devotions, Allah will say that this devotion, you did not do it for me. You did it to show that person. So go and ask him for the reward. Why ask me when it was not done for me? And if you make no intention, now how do you expect Allah to give you reward when you made no intention? For who was it made? Was it made for yourself that you didn't make intention? Then you reward yourself. That's why for every devotion, my dear respected friends, it is of vital importance that you must make intention. And the more we practice, the more perfect it will become. And my dear respected friends, it will bring you to such a stage by making these intentions that your life will be like a clock. Your life will be like a clock. Give you an example whereby you can understand it quite well. That you say, I get up at 3:45 in the afternoon for my Asr Salah. Every single day you will get up at 3:45. And you take a sequence that immediately after that you will go to the toilet. You will make your wuzu. You will come into the masjid. And the particular spot that you are every day worshipping Allah, you will be on that spot. You will read your 2 rakats of Tahiyatul Masjid, Tahiyatul Wuzu, etc. And whatever devotion that you have to do from that time till this Asr Salah starts, you will do it. So if anybody is looking for you, they know that at this particular time, you are going to meet this particular person in this particular place, doing this particular ibadah. And that is what Allah loves. Which Allah gives us an example in our daily task. That in the morning you will find the sun rise. And in the evening it sets. Not in the evening that the sun rises and in the morning it sets. That is why a person becomes bayah and is given mamools. Practices to practice on. To bring your life in perspective to what Allah wants. It is for that reason that Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, خَيْرُ الْعَمَلِ مَا دِيمَ لَهُ, that the best of actions are those that are done regularly. Not one day you do it, another day you don't do it, this day your taqaza is more for the dunya, the other day your taqaza for the deen is more. No. The Sirat al-Mustaqim means you go one straight way. Not your foot sometimes on this side and your foot sometimes on this side. So the month of Ramadan in Etikaf is an exact and a beautiful time for you to train yourself and to train your nafs and to bring all these things into perspective. Now all these advices that are given, my dear respected friends, a lot of them, you will only be able to understand according to your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the quality of your iman. For, take a glass. In that glass, my dear respected friends, you can only fill 200 mils of water. Because the quantity of the glass is 200 mils. You can't fill more than 200 mils. Now when you are going to fill more than 200 mils, what is going to happen? We all know it is going to spill over. So that is the same way as far as our hearts and our iman are concerned. The amount of iman that we have got and the amount of amals that we do, that's the amount we are going to understand these talks. There are a lot of things that is just flowing out of our minds. Great, great advices are being given, but it just flows out of our minds because our hearts haven't become that receptive of all those information that is coming from the Quran, Kareem, Ahadith, and our pious elders. So come, my dear respected friends, let us be punctual, exact, on time. I take my hat off for Ismail Hafizi. I find him doing his things exactly. He sits there on the second row for his salah. Every salah on that particular time you will find him there. With other murids, I don't find them doing it. Come, my dear respected friends, we can do it. All of you can do it. Now let's go down to hearing a little bit more advices from the ulama-i-kiram regarding advices on intention. Hazrat Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayhi says that the people of before used to learn about intention like how you are learning on amal. In other words, like how you send a child to madrasa to learn alif, ba, ta, sa. He's learning how to recite the Quran. Like that, they used to be taught in infancy on how to make intention and how to strengthen the intention and to make intention before any amal. But these days, nobody wants to make intention, nobody wants to make amal on what they are learning. Because what they're learning in one ear, out of the other ear, as long as me, I'm okay, I eat, I sleep, and I drink, I'm okay. That is qualities of the animals, not humans. My dear respected friends, the intention in its own can make your 24 hours of living, doing things into the ibadat of Allah. My dear respected friends, it is only with sincerity that you got to learn to make those intentions. If you learn with sincerity to make them, inshallah, believe me, I take the oath of Allah, Wallahi al-Azim, 24 hours of yours will be in worship of Allah. Whether you are awake, you are asleep, you're conscious, you're unconscious. My dear respected friends, there are three things that we do in 24 hours. We're eating, we're sleeping, or we're working. We're talking out of Ramadan. Eat, sleep, work. So when you eat, make intention, oh Allah, I'm eating to strengthen my body that I can make your ibadah. Believe me, by making that intention, your eating becomes an ibadah. No matter even if you eat a 6 to 7 course meal, providing you do not eat haram and you do not overeat, that eating of yours will be rewarding. Second most thing that we do is sleep. All of us sleep. So before you sleep, make this intention that, oh Allah, I am sleeping so that I can rest my body to make your ibadah. For if I don't sleep, I will become weak, and with this weak body, I will not can worship you. Believe me, if you make sincerely that intention before you sleep, of course, using the words for your pleasure in all this intention, you'll sleep for 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, and in the etikaf, you definitely sleep 12 hours. Count it, you'll see. I got no objection. I feel it's better you sleep. Like when I came back from upstairs, 20 people were sleeping. I felt it's better 20 people sleeping here than sitting in Cape Point. Because when you are sleeping, you're saved from sin. When you're sleeping, you are saved from sinning. Then those Cape Point boys that are chatting and talking about people, backbiting, spreading rumors, telling lies, boasting, all these things come in speech. So you are fasting in the house of Allah and doing all those things, They don't go together, my dear friends. Right. Now the third thing is that every morning you go out to work. You make the intention when you have to go out to work that, oh Allah, you have made it compulsory on me to feed, clothe, and look after my family. So I'm going out to seek your sustenance so that I can care for my family. I'm going for your pleasure. So you go out to work. You're going to work for 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours. The 10 hours of yours, my dear respected friends, will become an ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us build and make those intentions. The Buzurgan Adeen, the smallest of amal, which we call a mustahab, if they did not make the intention of the mustahab, they should repeat it. Because they did not make the intention. That was to train the carnal desires, to train themselves, to punish themselves. They used to repeat the tamal. So come, my dear respected friends, let us begin to punish ourselves if we don't make any intention. Then you will perfect the first step. Now, Shaitan is a great guy. He's prolonging the second step, the carnal desire, which is more important than the intention. But he's making me talk so much things of deen that I delay. My dear respected friends, the ulama say, before an amal, seek intention. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who said that people will be raised on the day of Qiyamah according to their intentions. Quicker, better, nicer your intention, the quicker you are going to get up on the day of Qiyamah. So it is according to the intentions you are going to be get up, and it is according to that that you are going to be grouped. So who wants to get up quick, peacefully, safely, in the company of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yeah, work for it. Yeah, hands go up fast, but the work don't go fast. The intentions don't go fast. Now next time the hand come down, but the intentions go faster, and the amals go faster. Then you're going to get there, inshallah. Inshallah, tomorrow we're speaking on durood. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Allah, forgive me. Our Amir get angry. Gone to 20 paths, you're not supposed to go so far. May Allah ta'ala make it possible for us to follow all these advices of our Buzurgan Adeen, of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Monday, inshallah, we will continue. Wa akhir dawana, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Those brothers that are leaving us in the Edikaf, please remember, all these talks that are given every day after Asr, you can pick it up on the radio, on audio. Find out from the Khanka on what channel you will get it. Khanka has a channel of its own. You can pick up this talk tonight also. Anytime after it is delivered, you can pick it up on the audio, on your internet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.